across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast. My name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Well, thank you very much for being part of my world and my life. I've had a very busy few days, I have to say. Yesterday, as I'm recording this, I worked for a morning reading the news on an organisation that provides news bulletins to radio stations all over the UK and across Europe, in fact. Never done that before. They asked me to do it for their 9th anniversary. You might know, if you know anything about my radio career, I spent a lot of my time writing and reading news, not least 10 years on the Chris Tarrant Breakfast Show in London on Capital Radio, Capital FM as it was then, but also on Independent Radio News and LBC and various other places. So, you know, I was in my time a bit of an expert on news and won some awards for it. But, you know, the business changed, things changed, a few things happened to me, and I thought, time to stop doing that. And I stopped reading the news a few years ago and concentrated more on this, which I find enjoyable, gives me more control, perhaps, than I would get from some of the radio companies these days. But I was approached and asked if for the 9th anniversary of Radio News Hub, I would read the news for them, which I did from here. And it was amazing. Some of the stations, quite a few of them, got really nice responses from people hearing me on their morning drive, their breakfast shows. And some of the bosses of those radio stations also got in touch. And one of the duties that I had was to read a weather forecast, just 15 seconds. This particular station, Boom Radio, that's a national radio station in the UK, doesn't actually take the news bulletins, but does take the weather forecast. So I did this 15-second recorded weather forecast, completely anonymously, that was broadcast on Boom Radio. And they got nice feedback from their listeners saying, who is that person? Which is strange and bizarre and nice and all of those things, all at the same time. So it's been a strange week. And there's a lot of other stuff going on too. There may be changes to the radio show. I will keep you posted on what's going on with that. As soon as I know anything about that, I promise I will tell you. But at the moment, not entirely, but to an extent, it's up in the air again. But I will tell you more when I'm able to tell you more and when I know more, more importantly. Thank you to Adam for his part in my show, for getting the show out to you, running the website, all that stuff. Anyway, you've heard the reason why I'm sounding chilled now. You know, I'm just kind of in need of sleep somewhat, but at least the sunshine is pouring through my window. Hope everything is good in your world and your life at the moment. Lovely to hear from you in your emails. If you want to connect with me, you can go to my website, theunexplained.tv, follow the link and send me an email from there. When you get in touch, tell me. You can say this without me even saying it, can't you? Tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use the show. If you've donated to The Unexplained to help keep it going in these tough times, thank you very, very much. You know who you are. The guest on this edition, this is an unusual one, and if it's not your kind of thing, turn it off now, okay? But again, I always say, if you listen, you might learn something. That is the way that I always used to listen to shows with guests. I thought, I'm not sure about this. This is a man suggested to me by a media contact who doesn't normally suggest guests of this kind. It's a man in America. His name is Tom Matt. He is in business. He has an advertising business. He's had, you know, as many of us have had, issues in his life, problems in his life. His particular one was addiction that he overcame. But after overcoming that, he was left with what you might consider a gift or an ability that other people don't have. He sees things. He sees things in what is called upsight. He's got a social media presence about upsight. And they are like three-dimensional images of things and people, situations. Now, I'm fascinated by that because of the images that I see in that state before sleeping. You know, that in between being awake and being asleep state. I've done that for years, since I was a kid. So I wondered if it was related to that. So I thought, I hadn't heard of this guy before, but I thought it would be interesting to get his story. That's what we're about to do now. His name is Tom Matt, as I said. And that's all I have to say, really. Thank you for your emails. Keep them coming. It is excellent for me to know that you're there. And please check out my official Facebook page for any news as it breaks about any of the shows. Okay, let's get to America. Tom Matt is there. Tom, thank you very much for coming on my show.
I'm excited to be here, Howard.
So, Tom, we're going to tell a very unusual story, aren't we? And I wonder if, before we do this, because it's the kind of thing that I think a lot of my listeners won't have heard about, you know, there are not that many people talking about this. I wonder if you can summarize it for me in a sentence or two first.
Absolutely. I have this ability, which I have labeled upside vision. And this ability is for me to see and interact with holographic images that are everywhere around us. I say around us because I think they're around everyone, but they're certainly around me. Not so I can see them, and once I focus on them, I can change the image with a thought. So that's basically why I'm here today. Actually, I'm here today is because I went to IONS, the Noetics Institute, last year, and we did some tests to, you know, to get some evidence to prove that my brain is actually changing when I am in this upside state. So we'll talk about that. Basically, that's the ability I acquired. And I acquired this ability after a long history. Actually, I've had a history of addiction. I've been sober 11 years now. But at the end of this addiction, things got so bad that my brain somehow rewired itself. I got into a very unhealthy psychotic place, and I had more psychotic thoughts. And I wrote about this in a book called Jesus Goes to Hollywood, A Memoir of Madness.
All right.
And it tells kind of, yeah, there's a book out there. It's published 4 years ago. It's a family drama. You know, it's about addiction recovery book. The two thirds of what I went through, what the family went through. Happily, we're back together. And the last one third is about me looking for answers, like trying to find the right scientific team, the right academic institution to connect with, because I assumed they would want to know about this extraordinary ability.
Okay, so does this mean then, we have to break this up into bite-sized chunks, I think, to give people a chance of taking it all in. Does this mean that you see your thoughts, you think?
A great question. And no, they're not necessarily my thoughts. So you and I are having a conversation now. I can shift my attention to the right, look up, and that's how I have to do it. And I'll tell you what I'm seeing right now. Right now, I'm seeing a fire in a pit, and these people around it, and they're cooking marshmallows. Right, they're roasting marshmallows. That has nothing to do with this conversation. So, if I wanted to, once I'm engaged with this image, I could sit there and think, okay, make one of the people go to the other side of the campfire. I could say, turn the marshmallow into a steak. So it's interesting because it is an external. I'm picking up something externally, but once I'm engaged with it, there's an internal component to it. And again, that's what we studied. So are they my thoughts? Not necessarily. Half the time it might be related to what we're talking about, but just as easily something completely unrelated. I liken it to this, Howard. I'm picking up almost like I'm picking up a radio wave that I just happen to be tuned into, or some kind of waves I happen to be tuned into.
Is that alarming to you?
Yes, of course it was. So yeah, it was very alarming, especially in the beginning, right? I'm coming out of this addiction. I'm coming out of this psychotic state. I'm sitting on the couch one day and I get this. I start seeing these things. And of course, I'm like, oh, this is horrible. This is really, first of all, it was very cool. Like it was some kind of very cool thing. But I'm thinking, wow, I have a tumor. There's something wrong with my brain and I need to get an MRI. So in fact, I did. Right? I think something's pressing on my eyes or something. So I've had two MRIs. Both of them were all clear. No lesions, tumors, no damage from drug use or anything else that matter. From a neurological perspective and a pathological perspective, it was all clear.
Okay. Now I have to ask a question that some of my listeners, you know, sometimes listeners, a lot of the time, are very, very sympathetic to whatever is said here. And sometimes people are deeply skeptical. There are some of my listeners who will be saying, you know, and they may not have the experience to make a judgment like this, but they may well email me and say, this man is suffering from some kind of mental illness, and, you know, he needs to, with the nicest possible will, needs to get assistance with that. Do you have anything to say to them?
Sure, I would expect that. And that's what, so, but other than wanting to get sober 11 years ago to make, you know, do all the recovery, the good things to connect with my family and friends again and to build my life back, I knew that I had to be 100% clean and sober for this to be taken seriously. And we needed to get that mental illness off the table. So if you talk to anybody around me, there are no signs of, mental illness or anything like that. I don't have any addiction issues anymore. You could make the case that I have a little bit of PTSD for what my family, what I put my family through at the time. But, if I was to go into a mental health clinic, they would give me an all clear. I've had many conversations about this because the psychiatry is descriptive. It tells you about what you're going through. You tell them what's going on, and then they say, okay, this is what's wrong with you. The only thing that's wrong, and I'm using air quotes here, is this extraordinary ability. And again, as I said, we've discussed from a neurological perspective, it's not pathological. Now, with all of that said, I in fact did want to get proof and evidence from scientists and from qualified academics to prove that something is going on with
Oh,
my brain because I'm
okay. Well,
seeing.
let's just put a little way marker there, because we've got to tell the whole story, and I want to understand the whole person. So I know that you're keen to give me the whole story in 10 minutes or less, but we've got a bit of time to get into this, so let's take it. I want to know you. Now, what I know about you is that you are a man in his 50s. I know nothing else about you, so talk to me. You mentioned a family. You mentioned, which a lot of people have and have veered towards it and have had phases of it, a phase of addiction. A lot of people in the business that I'm in, find solace or have found solace in alcohol or whatever over the years, to some extent. So, it's not a headline story. Everybody knows these things happen. Talk to me about your story.
Great. So, this happened when I was 49 years old. And I'm from Atlanta. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had a successful advertising agency for 15 years. So I'm a small businessman, right? I had an ad agency, and my business was creating headlines for different businesses, restaurants, hospitals, different organizations throughout the Southeast. I had a history of cocaine addiction throughout my 30s and 40s. And when I turned 40, I got clean and sober. Okay, and I stayed sober for a really long time. When I picked up again, and I got into my health, I got in triathlons and I got very healthy. When I picked up again, something happened in my brain and there was some shift and I started believing psychotic thoughts. So I would take, let's say I would read a sentence like it says, it would say something like, local man is rushed to hospital with cancer. I would take what I read and I would believe it would be true and I would believe it about me. It was almost like a hypochondriac thing. Or any other story I would take, I would believe for some reason it was related to me. So I got very paranoid. I believed my business was a front for another business. I believed my children had been turned into alien doppelgangers. And I believed all these things. It was so bad that I had to get away from it all. I
Gee,
mean, this
were
is.
you dangerous?
No, I wasn't dangerous. I was not dangerous to anybody. I was not dangerous. I was more, I don't, maybe verbally a little bit, but not physically dangerous. No, I thought about that in a while, Howard. No, I wasn't dangerous, but I had to leave the family because I believed I was scared. Right? And I was like, if I get away from all of this, things will settle down. Well, guess what? They didn't settle down. And this is what the book is about. I spent a year flying around the globe, spending all my money, thinking psychotic thoughts. I thought I was going to be a designer. I was going to remix clothes for celebrities in Hollywood. I mean, I really was in a sick mental health state. Finally, my money ran out. I wake up on a beach in California and I say to myself, okay, something is wrong. Drug addiction, people want their money to keep doing drugs. Your executive function area, the area in the brain that plans ahead, is not working. So I checked myself into a psychiatric teaching hospital and I started to get better. And the psychotic thoughts, these thoughts that I have and then believe, slowly, the filter that had broken slowly got put it back into place. And slowly I realized these things that I believed to be true were in fact not true. All of them went away and my brain got better. The only difference is this persistence opening in my brain. And this is what the neuroscientists say. The drugs open something and you cannot close it. What you're connected to, we don't know. It's extraordinary. It's different, but we don't have the answers.
Gee.
So I've been looking for answers.
Okay, and this sounds to me, there are people, and I don't advocate any of this. I'm here to listen, but I would say to my audience, This is not me recommending any of this. Please don't think so. But, you know, those people who use things like ayahuasca, they say that they go into a different dimension, or at least they can access it. It's already there. Do you think that that was what was has been happening to you?
Yes. In fact, there is a word I learned when I started researching this, and the word is umwelt. And the word umwelt is means it's how a biological organism moves through its environment. So as human beings, we're on planet Earth, and we move through environment with our five senses, right? The place that we inhabit the place with birds and worms and all kinds of other biological organisms. Now, the way a worm moves through the environment, they don't have five senses. I don't even know what they do. I know they can feel something, but that's about it. Birds, they have different senses. Whatever happened to my brain, my umwelt expanded, and I can see more of what I call this hidden biosphere or this invisible biosphere. And people that are on ayahuasca, I think for a moment, their brains get into a certain frequency where they can tune into the same place that I happen to be tuned into all the time now.
Right. Well, look, I don't doubt that there are alternative realities, maybe different dimensions, parallel universes. I would give house room to all of those theories because I think there's a high chance that that is probably so. We don't understand very much of what is around us. So, you know, I will give you that. When this happened to you, you had cleaned yourself up from drug addiction. Now, we know that drug addiction, I have known people who have been, should we say that they've had issues with drugs, and when they've come off those drugs, then they have had things to deal with. They haven't quite been the same, and of course they've risked their health in various ways, because we know that there are things that can happen to people after they have used drugs. Sometimes they can be left with psychoses, we understand, and I am not a physician, so please don't expect detail on that from me, because it's not my field of expertise, but, you know, sometimes they can go that way. Sometimes they can have problems with blood vessels in the brain and that kind of thing. All kinds of effects. Do you think that what has happened to you is an effect that can be, by the sounds of it from what you've told me already, no, but is an effect that could be measured by a physician, clinician, expert?
Not anymore, because that's exactly what I wanted to get the answers on. I assumed there was going to be something wrong with my brain. I absolutely did. I assumed there was going to be something wrong and I would have answers. When that didn't happen, now I'm in this state of curiosity, because if this happened to you, remember, I'm 49. I went through this my whole life looking at the world one way, and now I can see these other things. Now, from a neurological perspective, there's nothing there. Now, we do know this. Now, this is, again, this is the kind of things I stumbled across when I was doing research. People that have macular degeneration, right, people that are going blind in their, it happens at any age, but sometimes these people start seeing things that are not there, right? They'll see little cartoons and stuff like that. And it scares them because they think they're going mad. Now, my hypothesis is that, no, what the brain is telling them, there is another part of the brain that can see, and not just our eye. It's an additional part of the brain, and it's kind of screaming. It's like, listen, your normal eyes are going blind. We know that, but the brain is saying, there's another tool here you might want to use. Now, typically, people with a Charles Bonnet syndrome are treated with drugs, but there's other people that are like, you know what, I can deal with these images and I can live with them. I think there's an element of that going on. Now, that person had to go blind for that to open up, but whatever happened opened up with me from, again, the logical thing would be from some kind of drug use. But no, there's no damage. And I've stopped looking at that because they can't give me any answers.
And after you came out of this situation, you say that you have a family, and yep. had you become estranged from them?
My boys were 10 and 12 at the time, and that was the typical thing with addiction. They were like, what's wrong with dad? So I, for like a year, you could say I was an absent father, because I was, but they're grown men now. This is a dozen years ago, and we have, thank God, a better relationship than we ever had. Obviously, I wish we'd never gone through it, but we did, and the family's good. We've come out the other side healed and are better.
How did you feel in yourself physically? Did you feel like apart from this perception, let's put it that way, that had opened up to you. How did you feel in yourself?
Awe. Yeah, the first time I saw it, Howard, I was in awe. I was like, wow, this is incredible. This is, I thought, if this would have happened 200 years ago, you'd think you're seeing God. But I was like in awe. I was in awe of these images.
But physically, you didn't feel sick in any way?
No, not at all.
Were working when you put up a hand, it went up and stayed up. Okay.
Absolutely. And let me tell the audience or the listeners what it looks like, because everyone likes to ask that. So I call it holographic. So let me give you two examples so people can imagine it. Hopefully they've seen one of these two examples. The first one, there's a show called, on Netflix a few years ago called The Queen's Gambit. And there's a scene where the protagonist is lying on the bed and she looks up at the bed on the ceiling and she's moving these chess pieces that are there. They're holographically, they kind of look smoky in the movie. That's what it looks like. If you've not seen that movie, most people have seen Iron Man, and there's a scene where Tony Stark is in his office and around him is the whole universe in a holographic form. That is what it looks like. It is that immersive and it is that cool.
Does it distract you? I mean, presumably you're still working, are you?
Absolutely. So again, now we can get into specifics. So if I'm driving a car, right? If you and I are driving a car, you're the passenger seat and I'm driving, and we're talking about, hey, do you remember the movie Jaws as a kid? Yes. Do you remember the poster? Right. My mind's eye and my imagination, my vivid mind's eye is going to think about that just like yours will, but I can still drive the car. So even though I'm driving the car, I can still think about that. So this is not a vivid mind's eye. If I do upside, I cannot drive another vehicle. I have to be sitting down. I can't do any other motor activity. I need to be sitting on a couch, laying in bed, whatever. And then I have my eyes follow those images.
Right.
So does it distract me? It can, sure.
Okay, but I wouldn't have to worry too much about grabbing a lift from you because you wouldn't be
seeing
pixies in the rear view.
No, not it. So that's the thing. It's not a hallucination. Hallucinations we think are real. I know these things are holographic images that I see. I know they're not real. I know. Yeah. So it's not like they get in any way. I don't believe them to be true. This is one of the things I talked about with ions. I'm like, listen, I don't think these things are true. I think I'm picking up something that's coming from somewhere. And that's really the big question. Where are these images coming from? And once I pick them up, I can interact with them. Now, yeah, so it also interacts, this again, invisible biosphere, it interacts very specific ways with, I've seen it interact with our three-dimensional world. Like there's an element of it that interacts with DNA. Now that I have a picture of this on my I have an Upside Vision website if you want to go there to see it, or you can follow me on Twitter, Tom at Upside Vision. But I have it. Now, if I were to talk to a geneticist and I'd say, hey, by the way, have you seen these candy cane-like images interacting with the DNA? They would say, that's nonsense. That's ridiculous. We can look underneath an electron microscope and they're not there. And of course, I would have to say, obviously, that's true. But I'm still seeing this interact with it.
I don't understand. You're seeing your own DNA.
No, not my own. When I see a strand of DNA that people think of, just everyone that can see it, I see these candy cane images interact with it in an unusual way. I see a link, a circle around the DNA, and around that circle are candy cane hooks. Now, we all know that's not part of DNA. So the question, is that a parallel universe? Is that something, is it, again, a hidden biosphere that's interacting with it? I don't know. That's something that should be looked at eventually. But the fact that I see it consistently intrigues me. And that's why I draw these images. I want other people to see what I see.
How do you live a normal life now, Tom?
I have a regular marketing agency. Yeah, this is like just part, it's like an additional sense. I call it like this vision on top of my vision. You know, I still am looking for answers because it is intriguing. And by the way, I will get emails and you will get emails, Howard. Somebody say, oh my gosh, I have this or I have a version of it. Send them my way. okay? Because we want to get back to ions and collect a larger data set from more people. That's the next step down the road a little bit. Oh. So other people have variations of this.
No, I'm sure they do. And one of the reasons we're having this conversation, because it was suggested to me by a mutual friend of yours, sort of in the business, we could say, one of the reasons we're having this conversation is there's a topic that I've mentioned on the show many times over the years, and it's partly something that's happened to me. It's that half asleep and half awake state you have. And so many people chimed with this when I talked about it on air. For years, ever since I was young, that's a long time ago, there are times when I'm falling asleep and my eyes will be closed and I will look up and I will see a tableau, is the best way I can describe it, in front of me. It might be people going about their business, cycling along a road. Once last year, and I described this on the air, and apparently I'm not alone in this one, I saw almost like a camera on like a dolly mechanism going up, you know, for the beginning of a movie. You almost expected to see Henry Fonda walk out of one of these things. An American street with picket fences and little gates in the picket fences and people walking up and down. Now, I wasn't thinking about that, but I saw that. When I was much younger, I saw another tableau of a colleague who, not long after that, died, funnily enough. A colleague of my father's, he was somebody he employed to do security at the shopping centre that he ran when my dad retired from the police. And I saw this man in his uniform. He had a very smart cap. The uniform was brown. His name was Billy. And I saw Billy. I wasn't thinking about Billy at all. Why would I? And I wondered what these things are. And I started getting messages from people telling me that in that particular state, they too see these tableaux of things that have no relation necessarily to their lives, but they're very clear images. I won't say they're three-dimensional, but to me they look like breathtaking cinemascope, almost with the stereophonic sound. So that's why we're having this conversation, because I'm wondering if there's any connection between what's going on with you and what's been going on with me and those people.
Absolutely. So those are called hypnagogic hallucinations. And I think most people have them exactly at the moment you're talking about, exactly at that moment, right between sleeping and waking. And I've read studies where people even try to, I can't remember the artist, would have the keys by his bed when, or leave his hands right when he falls asleep. He'd make sure the keys fell out of his hand so he could wake up and see these things. So there's many things that have been, I think the benzene ring was found by, discovered by somebody. He saw the Orbis devouring itself in that state. And that is the state, I think, and I thought so more in the beginning, because it's one of the things there's a lot of research on that I can access all the time. I am focused in anytime I want. I can dial in or turn my attention. Actually, that's as simple as that. And there it is. Now, it's funny that you talk about those two examples, because I've seen, who's the famous actor, Willy Wonka, Billy Wilder. I saw him in a state like this and he died the next day. Not Billy Wilder. What's the guy's name from Willy Wonka? Is it something? Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Billy Wilder's the director.
That's quite recent, isn't it? Yeah.
The next day he died. Mm. So that's wild that you say the same thing around something like that. So there's some liminal state that we can access from time to time that for whatever reason my brain is stuck in, and it has not affected, and this is important, and you've talked about it, my mental health and me moving through the world as a normal person. It's just something I can do.
Has it ever turned out to be prophetic? Has it ever had any meaning for you?
So I wrote a blog on ION's website. It's titled, Is Upside Vision a Psychic Ability? And one of the things is about precog. So has it ever helped me to make me say, don't make a left and don't make a right? I get feelings like that, but I've never seen a visual. But at the same time, I've seen a bridge collapse, right? And with upside vision, and 4 hours later, I hear about a big bridge collapsing in Idaho. So that's interesting. At the same time, I'll see five or six other things that I never find out what happens. So It's got, maybe it's got a precog. I mean, obviously it does, I think, but I'm not really tuned into it. And to me, that's the next step. I think we need to find out where these things are coming from before we can start using it towards precog, telepathy, towards remote viewing. And I play with all those things because imagine you would if you could do something like this. So I do. I think it has it, but I'm not like an expert on those things.
So do you want to lose it or use it?
I 100% want to use it. I want to, I think there's a, okay. So from my personal perspective of all the things I see, sometimes it's nonsense, sometimes it's meaningful. In the very beginning when this happened, when this started happening, I became obsessed with mathematics for whatever reason. And I can see any dimensional shape you can imagine, any dimensional shape in my field of vision, fold it, bend it, turn it into manifold, whatever. Well, I would be presented with these images and I would have to work out some equations. Once they were correct, I would get to the next equation. It was like a gamification. It's like the thing was red, then it turned green, then it would be the next level. I know that sounds extraordinary because it is extraordinary. So I have this multi-dimensional coordinate system completely built in my brain, in like a drawer in my brain that I have not put in this world yet, that if I wanted to and I get the right team, I will build the software for it. But the thing is, what is that for? It's extraordinary. It's multidimensional. It's more than the Cartesian coordinate system. And that's one of the things I would like to discover. So that's one of the things I'm working on. That's kind of like the next step of what I want to do from, you know, what I've learned from this and what I want to do with this.
I don't know an ocean of facts about the Institute for Noetic Sciences. I do know that Edgar Mitchell, the late Apollo astronaut, was part of it, wasn't he? So they were the people
who founded it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they are the people that you approached and asked for assistance with this. What happened?
So I sent Dean Radin an email. I told him about this ability, and he said, well, that's interesting. We typically don't work with people on this. I sent him some more emails. He said, listen, I'll bring it up in the next meeting, the next board meeting. And if we've got somebody that want to do it, I'll get you in touch with the right scientists. So they did say, okay, let's at least have conversations to see if we wanted to. And over time we did. They're like, okay, what is this going to look like? You know, I've been talking about this, writing about it. I published the book about it, my personal journey. They know I've been looking for answers. And in fact, there was a Smith Kettlewell Eye Institute in San Francisco. I was talking to the lab director there about me coming out and getting an MRI and see what parts of my brain were lighting up when I did it. However, this was right before COVID happened and that conversation kind of died out and they weren't doing anything for a while. So it shifted gears to noetics. So that's what I did last summer. I went out there and we did these tests. So this paper right now is under peer review, waiting to be published. I can't remember the name of the publication, but it is under peer review. And hopefully it will be, you know, out in the next 4 months, talking about what UPSIGHT is and to talk about the tests that we did. I did 200 tests out there. We had a control. Again, I said it earlier about my memory recall on an image. And then I would look at the same image using UPSIGHT. And the results were extraordinary. I mean, you could tell the EEG waves while I was using UPSIGHT completely different across all waves, alpha, theta, beta, than when my mind was thinking of an image, just, you know, remembering it.
Mm. So there are two possibilities here. And again, I have to say to my listener that, of course, I am not a scientist, far from it. You're either accessing something or you're generating something. Which do you think it might be?
I think it's both. Just like our ears hear, you and I are talking, you're outside of me, you're another human on the other side of the planet or far away. I'm picking it up from with my ears, but internally I'm responding with my voice. It's an internal response. I feel this is exactly the same thing. It's just mechanisms, physiological mechanisms we don't know about. I would think it's coming from the eye because my eyes get tired, just like they get tired from watching a movie. This is wild. My pupils will dilate when I see something arousing or exciting. And you cannot willfully dilate your pupils. It has to be from an external stimuli. So that's how we know it's external. And then the other thing we know it's external is when your eye follows, tracks an image of something, let's say like a gazelle running across the savannah, and you're actually following it, your eye is a smooth pursuit. It's called smooth pursuit eye movement. You can't fake that. If you're faking it, your eye jumps. So if I'm looking at what we would consider a blank wall, and I'm seeing something with UpSight, we can track my vision with the technology they have and know that I'm actually seeing something that is external.
And this world that you see, how much like the three-dimensional reality that you and I are looking at right now, how much like that is it? Or is it very different? Does it look like another kingdom?
Yeah, that's a great question, Howard. It's kind of both. A lot of it is just shapes and images, right? A lot of it is just that, or it's a lot of it stars. A lot of times I'll do like it's astral projection. I'll see planets just, you know, I don't know what star system. I don't know if it's just some kind of snapshot of a planet, or not snapshot because they're moving. But at the same time, I can see, here we go. I can see my kids playing in the backyard when they were younger. Right. I could see my whole backyard, completely my backyard, the pool, everything. And they were playing, they were younger. I can see myself as a boy. I've seen myself as a boy outside our house when I lived in New Jersey. So I don't know if that's exactly that, but it's the house. I know what I look like as a kid. You know, I know that I'm like, wait, that's me. I don't remember the moment, but I know that's me and that's the house. So, you know, that's the question I can't answer with any kind of authority. I know I can access this, but I can't answer it. I do believe it's here, though, Howard. I do believe it is a hidden or an invisible biosphere that only some people can access, or we can all access it from time to time. I just have this ability that I can turn my attention to at any time.
I think I'm as baffled as you were, but I wonder, since they say that somewhere deep down we record everything that happens to us, we just kind of consciously forget it. It's filed away in a place that we can't get to readily. And that's why, you know, sadly, some people at the end of their life, when their cognitive abilities decline, they can access another part. And again, I'm not a medical expert, but, you know, they can remember things. My father, in the year or so before he died, had vivid memories of his earlier life, you know, in the police force, and his colleagues and things, and could give me chapter and verse, but couldn't tell me what I'd said to him 20 minutes ago. So I wonder if you're accessing stuff that's there and that normally you wouldn't be able to access. Have you had that thought?
My wife thinks that's it. My wife thinks she thinks that this is all coming from internal, right? She thinks it's the DNA answer, that somehow it's encoded into us, or as we move through life, it becomes encoded into us, or it gets upregulated, or however you want to describe it from a genetic perspective, and we can see it. She thinks that's the answer. It's internal and it's encoded that way. I think that's part of it, but I definitely think there's something out there. Let's call it the Matrix, right? Everyone calls it the Matrix. I'm accessing and seeing part of the Matrix. I'm not sure we're not supposed to see it. I just think, because I don't feel like I'm seeing something I'm not supposed to see. I'm seeing something that I want other people to notice. Maybe it's available to us. Maybe we should start studying this. Maybe we should start really taking a look, because I think there's information here that can help humans. Is it for survival? If it's an evolutionary step, every evolutionary step is for survival. That remains to be seen.
If I were you and I'd gone through the procedure of having myself checked out, if it was me, I have to say that I would probably make myself an appointment with a psychiatrist and or a neurologist. I don't know whether you've done those things, but I would then want to experiment by taking myself to places that they say are haunted, or by places that they say have a particular energy around them, just to see what happens.
Yeah, so I want to be clear. I have definitely, there's all clear on the psychiatric front and the neurological front. Now, this is the question everybody asks, right? And I kind of want to do that too. I want to go to Skinwalker Ranch. I think I do. From what I've heard, I don't, because it's like one of the scariest places you can go for somebody that has an ability like I do, right? Maybe I can get invited to a haunted house with somebody who is a medium, and maybe she can just say what she's seeing, and I can literally see this. Now, that's a kind of a scary thing to think about, but I'm open to the idea, at least if it was under the right conditions, right environment. I don't want to scare myself, but I would certainly like to see if there's something else there that is, in fact, in this environment.
And in the meantime, let's take today. We're recording this on a Friday, but it could be any day of the week. Have you been to work today? Have you done creative things in your advertising agency? How's life been?
Yeah, I had a creative call, just a business call earlier this morning. Yeah, but life is good. Life is real good. And business is normal. You know, my business, the business, is other than being creative, my business is really has nothing to do with disability. This is like a personal journey, a personal goal that I want answers for. And again, I think anybody that had it or does have it wants answers. Now, a woman has approached me, Howard. She's in Virginia, right up the road from me. I have had Zoom calls with her, but she's the first person that's come to me and described it in a way that I think she has exactly what I have. And I plan on meeting with her she's in Oregon now, but I plan on meeting with her in the next 60 days or so. Now, we didn't talk about this yet, but I think if two people with this disability were in the same room together, we could communicate through this non-verbally. Whoa. We could test it. Yeah.
That would be a great experiment to do because, well, you would learn something about it, but also you might have discovered, if you're able to do that, you would have discovered a new scientific thing.
Hey, I believe it's possible. You know, group hallucinations, when people are on psilocybin or tripping on acid, you get 10 guys together, they're all partying, they're drunk and doing drugs, and everyone's like, wow, do you see that? They all trip. Seven men see the same alien or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. When they come down, they dismiss it. They're like, oh, that wasn't there. But how could seven people see the same thing?
That's interesting. I must admit, I don't know where I've been in my life. I'd never heard of that one before. So maybe there's a kind of collective experience for you to have if we can find somebody, you can find somebody who's having exactly the same experience as you. So I'll say this now. I'll put it out to my listener. If you've been having this experience, we can give a contact for you if you will allow me to know what happens, if you have any contacts, and we can see if people can contact you. You can work out whether you think that they're bona fide, whether they're people who are reachable by you in terms of distance, transportation, and that kind of thing, and maybe you can do that. That's fascinating, but it sounds like you've got an offer already.
Yeah, I would love it. That's an easy one to prove, right? We don't have to any science. Now, if it happened, everyone would have to say, well, let's measure the brainwaves. But if we could do it in the same room, because I've tried it long distance and it doesn't work. I've tried it with podcasters and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. But I think if there's room somehow, and actually, upside vision, one of the images shows me how to do it.
Okay.
Right? So it's showing me exactly how to make it work. Now, the problem with that, though, is there's a trickster element to this, and it always doesn't tell the truth. I can't win a horse race, right? I can watch a Kentucky Derby an hour before, 5 minutes before it happens, but it's not true.
Okay.
It will never give me something like that.
Okay.
So I learned that at the very beginning.
Why are you speaking with me today, then? You're clearly making an effort to reach out to, not that I consider myself to be the media, but you're clearly making an effort to reach out. Why?
We were just talking about it, to find other people with disability. I know the woman that has it, the woman, she said her mother, when she was little, she had it, and her mother told her, don't tell anyone that, people will think you're crazy. I'm here to say, you know what, maybe there's an ability that nobody understands, and while that's not the right answer, it's kind of an understandable answer. And if you have something like this and you're looking for answers, let's connect. I have an Upside Vision Facebook page, very small number of people, because again, this is not, everybody doesn't have it. But if you want to leave a comment there about what's happening to you, please do.
In your researches into this, which I know you've done, I haven't. Are there other people who tell similar stories to yours in the world?
Now, this is what blew my mind. The short answer is no. I cannot find any research or researchers who see this kind of thing, right? Dr. Diane Baselko, she's a religion and ufology studied in the United States. And I had a class from her. I'm like, listen, can you tell me if somebody's had something like this? Because I would love to learn the research, find it, do some more digging on it. There's nothing. There is nothing where somebody has described it like this. Now, maybe there is. Maybe I shouldn't say that. I haven't found it. Maybe there is. If a listener knows something like this, please also drop that into the Facebook
page. All right. And we'll remind people at the end of this. Can you use Upsite now while we're talking?
Yeah, I can use it again. I did it before with the fireplace. With the fireplace.
The fireplace and the vision that you had with
it. Let's do it again. Let's see what these people are doing. Let's see if they
give it a go. So this is a formally requested by me experience of this. I'm just wondering whether anything that you see might be relevant.
All right, tell you what. I've done this before. Think of something. Go ahead and then I'll tell after we do this, I'll tell you another story. Go ahead and think of something. Again, you're thousands of miles away, but just think of it and let me see.
Okay, the thing that I'm thinking about, I'm looking at right now. Now, this is an experiment. He may go quiet. I'm just telling my listener. We're trying this live, and this is something that I'm holding. It's type. The thing of its type that I'm holding here, it's very dear to my heart. But there you are.
No, I'm getting an obelisk, maybe some kind of statue. That's what I'm getting.
Well, no, that's very, very weird. The thing that I'm holding is a tiny little radio set. However, in front of me, in this place where I record, I have a crystal. It's a crystal pyramid in front of me. So it's very strange that you should say obelisk, because that's what if you scale that up 1,000 times, then it would be an obelisk.
Yeah.
But it's a crystal pyramid.
That's wild to me, too.
Well, I don't know whether that's a hit, but that's certainly worth remarking. Okay. Well, if I were you, and again, I can't be you, and none of us can be the other person, I would be off-put, as we say in the United Kingdom, about this. It would be something I would worry a bit about. And I would want to get to the bottom of it, as you want to get to the bottom of it. But having done the things that you've done already, I agree with you. The only thing that you could do is to try and find other like-minded people and carry on with my life. Now, in terms of carrying on with your life, do your friends know about this? Do your work associates know about this? Or is it only really your family that you discuss it with?
Everybody knows now. Yeah, everybody knows now. And of course, people are like, Tom's got that weird thing, but that's okay. It is a weird thing. Let's be honest. It's unusual. It's a little different. But they know, here's the thing. They know I'm clean and sober, so nobody can sit there and say, oh, he's on drugs, which is very important. You know, it's not like he's hallucinating from drug use. So that was very important to me, and it still is.
And in all of the vital parameters, in terms of your physiology, your heart rate and blood pressure, and your cognitive abilities, you tell me 100% right down the line.
Oh, yeah. I stay grounded through athletics. I run like 5 miles a day. I go to the gym. I lift weights. That grounds me. That helps me. In fact, I think that helps this ability to be a little stronger, if that's the best word. Maybe it's a little tighter. Now, So I think it's important for this. Now, I don't think you have to be completely healthy to be able to do this. In fact, I think some people, the woman that had it, she's gone through some kind of trauma. So it's almost like I don't know. I don't want to say you have to go through trauma to do this, but a lot of people that have come out have had some kind of trauma, whether it's physical or mental. That is a pattern I see.
And your trauma was your addiction.
Definitely. My trauma was my addiction. Well, even walking out of the family was brutal, because it was my psychotic thoughts. I thought these things and flying around just not knowing what I was going to do from one minute to the next. Once my brain started rewiring, I like to say that, I was like, holy cow, I've been mad for, 6 months. That's what I said to myself. I've been insane for 6 months. That's a scary thing to know. That is a scary thing to know.
I mean, of course, the word that you used is not a word that we use in contemporary language now, because, we need to understand people in a clinical way. But you say you don't need any of any of that. And you're living perfectly well. You've got a creative job, your own business. Life is fine. And you're on the straight and narrow. You're not addicted to anything. You just have this thing that you want to understand. It's almost like an elephant in the room that's always there.
Yeah. And yeah, if I apologize to anyone using that term, I mean, if I said that, I want to apologize. And let me tell you a story about mental health, because this is the language people come at me with, and I just kind of say it back to them. But 12 years ago, when I did check into the hospital in California, they did treat me with bipolar. So that's what the clinical description was. And you can make a really good claim. I agreed with it. I wrote about this in the book. I'm like, wow, I'm exhibiting bipolar disorder. I'm absolutely exhibiting it, but that is all gone. You know, you can have a diagnosis, and that diagnosis changed when things get better. Obviously, you take out the drugs, my behavior changes, and that is what happened in that case.
So we don't know what has caused this, and if it's a symptom of something, we don't know what it's a symptom of. And the cause, anyway, you say, has dissipated and gone. All you're left with is the effect. The effect is still there, and the effect is strange. Last thing, then. You did hint to me that you could have some impact on this. It's not random. It's not stuff that's just happening to you. You can change it at times, and sometimes it lies to you. It seems to me that if there is some kind of ability or connection here, somebody somewhere could help you to channel this. That's the word. To channel it into something really useful, maybe in everybody's lives, but definitely in yours. How about that?
That's the path. That is what I want. That is why I've taken all this time, energy, and effort to try to connect with other people. That really is. I think there's something here that's important for Earth, for humanity. I do think that, you know, we say there could be a mutation at the genetic level, right? There could be a mutation that they're not picking up. Something may have happened. Something may have opened up, and they just didn't have it looked there yet. But it was, since everything else is so healthy, my blood pressure, again, everything about me is healthy. I don't know if I want to go in there just yet to really drill down, and they'll say, oh, look at this DNA here. Look at something happened. Eventually, maybe, but that's down the road. And I'm still more interested in connecting with other people with disability. Again, trying to see if two people can communicate nonverbally. That would be a game changer, obviously. And the more research would be done on it. And then also is collecting information. There is an intelligence. You call it the Akashic Record, the Noosphere, the Book of Life, the Luminous Ether. There's something here with an intelligence that is pulling me or guiding me. And this information here can be downloaded just the same way we download information from the computer. It's very hard for one person to do it. I think a team of people need to do it to make it more relevant, and even learn how to do it.
Okay, we're coming to the end of this, and forgive me for asking this. Maybe I should have asked this a whole lot sooner. And it's not really a question that I've asked very much, if at all, before. You're not hoaxing me, are you?
No, without a doubt, I'm not. I would not. I don't know what the payoff is for that, but no. I am not hoaxing you. I see these holographic images, and I can interact with them. And again, IONS did a study. Let's think about that. The paper, the EEG waves, you can see this study that's done. Mm-hmm. And I really do believe you'll see, Howard, other people will come forward with this. Yeah, it's not.
Then I think then in the light of that, we need to, and again, we're going to do this, reach out to other people who may be in this situation and want to connect with you. And also anybody who is interested in researching this. I have people who are clinicians and scientists, and you would be amazed at the kind of people that you reach if you speak into a microphone and do this kind of thing. If any of you would like to make contact with me, I'm talking about the professionals, then I can pass you on to Tom. If you're having the experience, then you need to contact Tom directly in a way that he's going to tell you now.
Well, I want to add one other thing. If you are a software developer or gamer and are curious about this multidimensional coordinate system, also reach out. That is another, like I said, I want to build this thing. This thing is important. I don't know what it, I know what it does. We can't get into it now, but it's a very fascinating multidimensional system built with complex numbers, which supposedly we cannot envision. I can 100% see them. In any case, you can reach me at upsitevision.com. on Facebook. That's the website, Upside Vision. You can leave a comment there, or you can follow me on Twitter. It's Tom E, TomEMATTE. And that also has Upside Vision, Tom Matt. Yeah, please reach out if you're interested.
Well, it's a big story. I think some of my listeners will have been with me all the way, and some of them may have decided it's too much for me to take in, and I'll take a rain check on that one. But I'm interested. I want to see what happens to you and where this goes, Tom. So thank you very much for speaking with me.
Yeah, thank you for saying that and for all your comments and reaching out there. I'm maybe we'll connect in a year and see where we are.
I'd like to do that. All right, take care, Tom.
Yeah, me too. I enjoyed this. Thank you very much, Howard.
Well, that is a heck of a story. Don't forget, if you want to reach out to Tom Matt, you can, and tell him about your situation if it's similar. If you're a scientist or somebody in that kind of field who wants to study Tom, and you are legitimate in that, and obviously checks would be done, then you can reach out to me and tell me, and I'll pass on your message to Tom. I don't know what to make of that. I think it's a remarkable story, and he's telling it to me, I think, in all honesty. So what do you think? Thank you very much for being part of this show. More great guests in the pipeline here at the Home of the Unexplained Online. So until we meet again, my name is Howard Hughes, in the sunshine pouring through my window. Please, whatever you do, stay safe, stay calm, and please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.